Now, you go on walks a hell of a lot more than I do. But when you go on trails, in your opinion, how easy is it for anybody, not just children or men or women or whoever, to either get lost, to fall and nobody really see them, to hurt themselves? You know, how easy do you think that is in a situation like that?
Okay, well, first of all, you're asking the wrong person, because I get lost on the easiest trail in the world.
Hi guys, welcome back to the Bolt Off with Big Jim podcast.
Guess what, motherfucker?
Some of the information you are about to hear, some may find disturbing.
I don't know who gave them this or who gave them the clearance.
On the crotch.
Oh my lord.
Right there.
Can we Google that?
Yeah, that's what I thought, and then I fucking stumbled down a dark hole, and I love it.
Great keg parties.
You know, if I'm going to believe anybody's bullshit, I'm going to believe mine.
It sounds not politically correct, but...
You two motherfuckers need Jesus.
Welcome back, you sexy motherfuckers. We are...
Thank you.
...doing it live. Not live, but we are back in action.
Post-live.
It's been... you said it's been over like a month, right?
It's been a month since we recorded together. Yeah. Things, life has just been going on and we've been trying to catch up and it's been tough.
We do have stuff coming. I'm still looking into certain things. I primarily want to get hats. Now, this is not our hat. This is our boy over at Semi Stupid, David Brubaker. But we are looking in. I am looking into getting hats made soon. Okay. I have a couple things that I'm looking at and we're going to have a couple of, what do they call them? Like testers? Prototypes. We're going to have a couple of prototypes. Prototype. We're looking at getting a hat with this little saying on it, as well as you motherfuckers need Jesus. Like those ones need to be made. And I'm really thinking about, yeah. I'm really thinking about putting like just hands in the middle. I don't know. We'll see.
Or a finger, middle finger.
But we are back. This is a... Just to let you know ahead of time, this is a bit of a downer story. We do kind of chuckle and laugh in it, but it has been updated as far as April 19th of 2021. There has been a break in the case or a suspected suspect and
a person of interest.
Person, thank you. Thank you. I fucking went to college for criminal justice and that's what comes out of my mouth.
You know, Tim, you know what 10 plus 10 means, so that's good.
Yeah, 15. So this is going to be the story of the Delphi murders. If you don't know, it's a very well popularized case. It is one that has been talked about over the last 4 years, really, all over TikTok, all over Instagram, Facebook, and I'm sure Reddit is covering that thing. Reddit's filled.
Yeah, I like going on Reddit. Reddit has a lot. Or 4chan.
I'm mainly on Reddit. But yeah.
Yeah, 4chan can get a little twisted.
Yeah, I'm okay. Reddit's already twisted enough. But I hope everybody enjoys it. We hope everybody enjoys it. And before doing so, please be sure to go and check out our Flow page. That's flow.page/btwbj. And there you will find all of our links. Instagram.
Stuffus.
The Stuffuses. YouTube. Mm-hmm. Subscribe. Like. Comment. All that good stuff.
Look, we know you're not going to get through the whole podcast. 99% of the people never get through a whole podcast.
I don't think they get past the first 3 minutes. So, hi.
It's important.
But we do appreciate those who do stick around. So, thank you. We really appreciate it. Mm-hmm. And lastly, we will be doing more Chubb Talk, so expect more of those. Big Jim will actually be taking a break.
Possibly.
But you'll definitely have me on for sure. And I already spoke with my wife, and she will be coming back, and I will be freaking her out with some stories too. So tune in, guys. And we're getting new equipment soon. That's coming soon. So you know, when they're in the actual area with me, they'll sound a hell of a lot better. So stay tuned for that.
I'll still be putting out Chub Talks. I mean, he's already got 3 videos right now he's got to edit. So, I mean, we'll still be putting them out. It's just us together. It's going to get a little complicated coming here in the near future. So,
yeah,
but we're not going anywhere.
Yeah, we're still going to do this. We just got some, we have a few speed bumps that we've taken so far, and we got to slowly ride over those things. That's all. Enjoy the episode. This is episode 53. I'm still fucking shocked we're that far into this thing, including with all the other Chub Talks. We're probably well over that, but officially, yeah. 53 of Botox with Big Jim. This is the Delphi Murders in the town of Delphi, Indiana. Two girls, Liberty Germain and Abigail Williams, Libby being 14, Abby being 13, decided to have a sleepover at Liberty's grandparents' house because there was no school the following day. It was actually a snow day. The pair were then joined by the older sister of Libby, who was Kelsey. She was 15. So on this day, they're all just having, you know, a girl sleepover. They're all hanging out, having fun.
Being kids.
Now, the day of the 13th, February, Derek, which was Liberty's father, made the girls breakfast, pancakes, sausages, bacon, so on and so forth. It was a wonderful day. Afterwards, Libby and Abby helped out Libby's grandmother, Becky. Becky needed help with some paperwork at her job, and she told the pair if they'd help with some of the paperwork that she can take them over to the mall to. So they agreed. Yeah. What child wouldn't want to go to the mall at that age? I know I did.
Yeah.
Especially now with everything being back open.
Yeah.
After the work was done, the girls asked if they can go on a trail instead, a local walking trail. Now, you go on walks a hell of a lot more than I do. But when you go on trails, in your opinion, how easy is it for anybody, not just children or men or women or whoever, to either get lost, to fall and nobody really see them, to hurt themselves? You know, how easy do you think that is in a situation like that?
Okay, well, first of all, you're asking the wrong person, because I get lost on the easiest trail in the world. That's happened to me quite a few. I get this, you know, my internal compass just gets all thrown off. And luckily the trails I walk have signs, but there are times where, you know, I'll just have like a brain fart and lose my direction. So I don't go on trails like your brother. That dude will take a trail just off and have no worries with it. I keep my ass on asphalt. Period.
You get lost walking a straight line.
I have. I'm not gonna lie, because I have. That sounds stupid, but I have, coming back from a trail that I had, and all I did was that it was going one way. I didn't see the Y. Going back to my car, there was a Y, so I took the Y, thinking, oh, I'm still heading west. I'm not gonna get lost.
A split.
Right. Well, I got lost, and it wasn't. And if it wasn't for me to look up and didn't see a car, which was a ranger station, if I didn't see the vehicle, I started to fucking panic. I've told you this story. That's how I got lost. It was a straight line. Yeah, it was a straight line. But that happened. I just, you know, I lose my internal compass and my focus, and my balance, and when my equilibrium from having vertigo goes out, it's easy.
Jesus.
So trails like the. Over the tracks, and I wouldn't do that shit by myself.
Yeah,
I would have a tracer. I'd probably have a cut one of them glow in the dark vests. I know I'd have a flare. I'd have something. I carry glow sticks, dude. I'm not lying.
I can just picture your big ass being stuck somewhere. Help! Somebody, please!
I'm not kidding, dude. You know what, dude? I'm not even gonna lie. I've tried walking a trail. It's around a lake. It's 9.5 miles. And there was this older couple that were out trekking me hand and foot. And it got to the point where they hit a bend. It's a well-marked track, but because I didn't see them, I turned right back around and went back where I knew I was going to be able to find myself back, because I was using their guide as my, I was following them. Once they, like, they were hauling ass, dude. I didn't even make the whole trail.
So after the work, the two took the local trail, which was also known as a hangout spot. It was Monon High Bridge Trail. Becky said under one condition, that they find a ride to the trail and back, because after a while, Becky got really caught up with work and she couldn't take them. Libby was very familiar with this trail, and her sister Kelsey would go there often. So in a post on Instagram and Snapchat, she posted about going to the trail and asked Kelsey if she would be able to take her and Abby to the trail. Mind you, again, the two girls are 13 and 14 years old. At approximately 1 p.m., Libby called Kelsey, asked if she could take her to the trail. Kelsey agreed, but wouldn't be able to pick them up afterwards because she had work. Libby then called her father, Derek, and asked, would you be able to pick us up after going on this trail? To which he said, of course. But he informed them if it would take him about 2 hours to finish his photography work, because he was a photographer. And when he was done, that he would be able to come and pick them up. So the approximate pickup time was about 3:30, give or take. At about 1:30, Kelsey picks up the girls. 8 minutes later, Kelsey drops them off at the trail. Phone records show that Kelsey was on the phone with her boyfriend at around this time. Kelsey also knew that she had already dropped the girls off and remembers talking to her boyfriend at the time of the drop-off. So the time does correlate with the cell phone records as well as the time that the girls were dropped off. Now, keep in mind, Derek just said that he'd call or text them when he was close. About 10 minutes later, Kelsey watches the two girls walk off onto the trail before leaving. So she saw them walk onto the trail, walked about 30, 40 feet, and then drove off as she saw them walk onto the trail. At about 2:08, Libby uploads a Snapchat photo of the Monon Bridge. And about 2 minutes later, another image. And this time, Abby was actually walking on the bridge at this time. Nothing suspicious, nothing crazy. It's just two girls hanging out, having fun, doing stuff on a trail.
Walking in their backyard, man.
What normal kids do. Shit, when I was young, that's all that, you know, we were jumping off of trees and the roofs and shit. We were throwing dirt clods at Cholo's cars and almost getting our asses beat. It's nothing out of the ordinary for them, the girls, the family, to see them and have them do this. I'm pretty sure it was a normal thing. Now, the next, at some unknown time, Libby uses her camera app, not Snapchat this time or Instagram, her actual camera, and begins recording one of the eeriest photos on the internet today.
I just thought of something. I mean, I've seen, you know, the story, it's all over the place. I never really sat down and watched the whole story or really listened to anybody else's podcast about it. But you said this thing only happened less than 4 years ago. How can they not?
2017.
Oh, they don't have the phone. They never recovered the phone. They just recovered the image.
That's yeah, basically they.
They recover the image.
So they were able. They were able to find her. They found them eventually, but this is the camera. This is what they found on the actual camera app. And again, it is a very eerie photo video if you've never seen
right.
it. Now, if you couldn't hear that, in that video, there is a gentleman walking in their direction. So that's why Libby pulls out her cell phone and starts recording this guy, because she's like, what the fuck is this guy doing? And why is he walking near us? Now, what in the video, you see a man who is probably, it's a very grainy video. But he's wearing what looks to be either a hat, or he has curly brown hair, possibly white skin, blue overcoat, looks like a brown shirt underneath his coat, and blue jeans. And if you couldn't hear what he was saying, it sounded like he was saying, it's all right, we're going down the hill. But the way that people describe this guy is that he's looking down, and it does resemble it in the video, that he's looking down and kind of mumbling to himself, down the hill, it's all right, we're going down the hill.
So he's talking to himself.
Yeah. So, I mean, even as a grown man, if you saw that, wouldn't you be kind of freaked out?
Oh, exactly. Yeah. I mean, I know I shouldn't say, but it's exactly why I carry a gun when I walk. It's either the little 380 or the 38, either one. It goes right in my backpack or right in my pouch. Yeah. And like I said, the trails that I've gone on there, I've seen deer, bobcat, I've seen all that. But anyway, yeah. I don't like that shit any more than in the next person.
So it's
people. I look intimidating myself. Trust me, I get looks from women who are jogging, or, you know, even guys. You know, I literally, if they see me and I see the resistance or the, you know, like they're panicky, I'll stop and I'll pull over and I'll wave them through, or I'll just wave. And, you know, no, people, because of shit like this, people panic.
And it's really messed up, because it is a creepy video. And again, it is grainy, which I believe it's grainy because she's probably zoomed in. If she wouldn't have zoomed in, it looked like, from my opinion, it looked like she had zoomed in, recorded the video for whatever reason. They didn't feel comfortable around this strange person, because if you look in the photos, which I'll be posting on Instagram, when they're on the bridge, there's nobody around them. There's no one.
Yeah, there's no one on the trail.
There's nobody. And then all of a sudden, this guy just shows up and he's mumbling to himself saying, it's all right, we're going down the hill. Who the fuck says that in general to themselves? Crazy people.
Or drunk.
Or drunk. Now.
Right?
Yeah. No. You're right. Drunk people do kind of mumble to themselves. I know I've done it before.
Yeah, I think everybody has.
Now the two girls prior to this really viral video, now you can hear them talking about, quote, girl stuff, according to the Delphi County Sheriff Toby Lesenby. That's the one.
Toby's good.
Toby. Sheriff Toby. At about 3 p.m., Derek, Libby's dad, remembers calling Libby at that time to have the girls be ready for pickup. So he's done with his job. He's done with his photography work, and he's coming to pick up the girls. However, there was no answer. By 3:14, Derek is now at the pickup location. Calls Libby again. This is now the second time. No answer. Getting no answer, Derek parks his truck and then walks the trail. And he's, you know, panic isn't setting in just yet, but he is kind of like, okay, what the fuck's going on? Is her phone dead? And I think the unfortunate thing too is I don't think he had Abby's phone number either. I think he only had his daughter's.
Yeah, see. I mean, that's even as just 4 years ago, there's a big difference. I mean, because of this case specifically, because of, you know, cases that have happened since then, people, you know, parents get paranoid, dude. We get paranoid. It's going to happen to you. It's going to happen.
I'm already getting paranoid. It's going to happen. I'm already getting paranoid. Her ass ain't got no cell phone.
And you got daughter. I know.
We got a park across the street. I'm always, you know, she's not over there by herself ever, but still I'm going to have to start getting used to watching one and looking around the corner for the other. I'm not used to that.
Well, yeah. Well, there's a lot more you're going to have to adjust to just by having enjoy the freedom you do have right now with just Mila. It's super easy, because when the other one comes out, yeah, all that shit's gone.
About a minute into walking down the trail, he sees a man in a flannel shirt. This, and the trail that he's walking down is called Trail 501 or 501. Derek is then at the intersection of 501 and 505 when he's asked when he asks this flannel man, as on Reddit and Wikipedia and a lot of other places have labeled this guy, because they didn't mention his name. But he asked, did you happen to see two girls on the trail? To which the flannel man said, no, I did not, but there is a couple on the bridge. Now, it doesn't specify as there are a couple of girls on the bridge, or a couple, a man and a woman, a man and a man, a woman and a woman. Doesn't specify. But all he says is there is a couple on the bridge. So then Derek checks 505 trail instead of 501. He then forks off, kind of like when you got lost with the V. He goes over to the right, and he checks 505 instead of 501. Me personally, I would have checked 501, regardless if it was a couple or whatever. It's in the same vicinity of the it's the same answer that I'm looking for of the question that I just asked. I would go look at 501, but instead he went to 505. He searched for over 15 minutes, didn't find anybody at 505, and didn't find the girls. Derek then calls Becky, and Becky then tells Tara, who is Libby's aunt, to try and contact Libby. So now you got Grandma Becky, you got Aunt Tara calling, and they're not getting any answers. Derek then returns from the opposite end of the intersection that he was at on 505 to back to 501. If I get you confused, I do apologize. There are a lot of numbers and stuff.
No. As you're talking, and because see, this is a lot of the stuff I don't know. I've never really followed that story because it has to do with missing girls. They haven't found the girls still, right?
They did find them.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
No, it's good. They did find them though. But now this is where the panic sets in, because now it's 4 o'clock. So they've been out for about 2.5-3 hours, give or take. Derek, Tara, and Becky are all unsuccessful on reaching Libby. And again, they don't have Abby's phone number. No one has Abby's phone number. So they can't even try and use Abby's, you know, location or view her Instagram story or anything like that, or even Snapchat. And at this point, Becky calls for more help. She calls her husband, Mike, the girl's grandfather. Kelsey returns to the trail after being phoned in by Becky. She was at work and she was like, fuck this, guys, I have to go. We can't find my sister. So now they got Becky, Tara, Derek, Kelsey, Cody, who is Libby's uncle, and Mike, the grandfather. They're all at the parking area where Kelsey had first dropped off the girls. And they're trying to get a plan of, okay, who's going to 501? Who's going to 505? What are we going to do? They're just doing a normal strategic plan of trying to find these girls. Cody and Becky split from the group and search in a different area in hopes that they may have gotten lost in that area, that they probably veered off, found some little weird path and just took that and got lost way off the trail. During the search, it's speculated that the pair could have gotten hurt from falling off the bridge, the pair being the two girls. It was speculated, but they didn't really know. And if you look at these pictures, the bridge is it's a significant fall. It's an actual
it's a big bridge. It's tall.
Yeah.
It's a track. It's a train track.
It's a train track.
A trellis.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Returning to the group, Kelsey and Cody then walk down to the, I can't pronounce this, Monon High Bridge. I keep reading it and I want to read Moron. I did
say the bridge.
I want to read Moron Bridge. I don't know. They keep walking to the Moron Bridge. I'm just going to call it Moron Bridge. They reach the southeast end of the bridge and begin yelling for the girls for about 20 minutes with no response. Kelsey, after a few minutes, calls her sister Kelsey, calls Libby again, and now she hears it ring, the phone actually ringing, and it's not going straight to voicemail, but she can't hear outside of her phone. So she can hear the phone in her ear, and now she's pulling it away to maybe hear vibration or, you know, the actual ringtone itself, but she can't hear it. She can't hear it. Becky, being the smart grandma, then calls AT&T and requests to ping the phone. However, due to legal reasons, they could not perform this task. Unbelievably stupid. You can't help these people find an underage girl who is literally your granddaughter.
Well, what was the reason?
That's all for legal reasons.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I mean, I'm sure it's, who's to say that that's her actual grandmother, right? I mean, it's that, is that maybe what the,
I mean, I can understand that, but if they're giving you know, names or something, I don't know. Yes, I can understand that. I can definitely understand that, but it is frustrating because I do have that, the job side of my brain and then my normal side of my brain, like, dude, what the fuck?
Yeah.
You know? At about 5:20 p.m. So it's now 4.5 hours since they've last seen, since anyone's last seen the girls. The family reports that Libby and Abby are missing to the police. The family takes to social media and the missing girls go viral. Literally, as soon as they post it, everyone's sharing, everyone's commenting, everyone's, you know, sad faces on Facebook, Instagram, everything. By 6 p.m., the Delphi Police, the Carroll County Sheriffs, and the Delphi Fire Department conduct a massive search for the girls, including a massive amount of volunteers. They got everyone out there in less than 2 hours to search for these girls. I don't want to be there if you're talking shit about their family, because they roll deep. They're going to fuck someone up. Now... this is now a day later. This is February 14th, 2017, Valentine's Day. By midnight, the search is called off. The reason being is weather conditions and the safety of the volunteers and the staff who are searching for these girls. They said that the search would continue the next day. By 1 a.m., the girls are all over the local news. WLF1 local news station put it on their YouTube channel, and by 4 a.m. they had already had over 250,000 views. By 6 a.m. the search continues, and throughout the day, multiple tweets, multiple Facebook posts from volunteers were going out, many of them with the tweet saying, team getting last minute instructions to go search for the two missing girls, command center is being held at the Delphi Fire Station, and so on and so forth. By 2 p.m. the next day, again, this is on Valentine's Day, a joint conference was held by the Indiana State Police and Carroll County Sheriffs. By this time, 2 p.m., two bodies were found. At this time, though, it was not confirmed if it was the girls. The following day, on the 15th, by 8 a.m., autopsies were conducted on the two bodies. And by 3 p.m. that same day, it was confirmed that the bodies discovered were Liberty and Abigail. The case, however...
So within 24 hours, they lost their whole characteristics of their facial structure? They couldn't tell?
No, because
this guy beat them.
Because they're minors. Because they're minors, unless it's a very, very significant traumatic case, a lot of the times... there's no reports on what happened with the children. So,
but identifying them took that long to identify people that they were just looking
for. It's not that it took that long. They don't want to give out the information yet.
Okay.
Because they could have fallen. Let's say, hold on. Because by 3 p.m., they were discovered that it was the two girls, and then the case was ruled as a double homicide. As of April of 2019, there were no arrests made. Now, going back to your question, it took that long to identify them. Possibly, you know, they could have been found on a ditch, or if whoever that creepy dude in the video was, he could have literally beat them over the head and then thrown them off that bridge. Nobody knows. Now, this was the possible break in the case or the possible lead in the case. And again, this was all of that information was prior to April of 2021, 4 years later. April 19th, 2021, while searching for another girl, by the way, in Lafayette, a girl 20 miles away from Delphi, officers searched for a missing girl in some neighborhood in Lafayette, Indiana, eventually coming to the home of James Chadwell II. He was 42 years old. When questioned by police, Chadwell stated that the missing girl had been in his home, but she had left earlier. Police searched the home and discovered that the missing girl was actually chained up in his basement.
Oh, fuck.
He said the reason why the girl was in his house was because she was petting his dog. Shortly after, according to the girl, mind you, 10 years old. Your niece who's at my house right now is 10 years old. By the way, if anybody were to fuck with that girl, I feel sorry for you because she is a firecracker. But 10 years old. So she explained to them exactly what happened. He punched her in the head multiple times. He then performed a rear naked choke and put her to sleep. If those who don't know, a rear naked choke is when somebody literally stands behind you, puts their arm, cutting off both your jugular.
Carotid.
Your carotid arteries, stops the blood flow to your brain, and you literally pass out. And the last thing she remembers is him punching her and then doing that. She suffered bite marks. She had strangulation marks, black eyes. Both eyes were blackened. Bruises on her arms, legs, and her head. James' brother, Ashley Chadwell, told Inside Edition on a interview that his brother is, quote, absolutely capable of killing someone. He should be locked up and never let loose again, end quote.
His own brother said that about him?
His own brother. Fucking crazy, right?
Yeah.
Now, there's also too many coincidences with James, because the reason why he was suspected of killing the girls, it's because there is a photo of him standing on the same bridge that the girls were on. And again, I'll be posting all of this on Instagram, and I'll be putting everything in the show notes as well.
But he lives 20 miles away.
Now, other than the girl, excuse me, found in his basement, Chadwell had some very interesting posts online. First is of a girl who eerily, and I mean eerily, resembles what Libby looks like. And the creepiest part, that's because the tattoo is here on his left arm. The creepiest part is the girl is smiling. And she has no, I don't know what these are called, the pupils. It's just a white eyeball and crying blood. But if you look at a side by side picture, it literally looks like Libby.
So he dug her eyes out?
I don't know. But it's the tattoo that's on his arm. Now, many do speculate that the tattoo was there prior to the girls being killed. But it's way too much of a coincidence to have a tattoo look exactly like the girl who is now dead. And like I had also mentioned, the Facebook post that he had also put on Facebook was him and the bridge of June of last year, June 2020. This is what he put on his Facebook post. Quote, sleeping under the bridge for a while till work starts. Only 10 days. Cool, dry, no neighbors, and the bridge is only 6 minutes away from work. Be thankful for the little things. End quote.
Hmm. And he's supposedly working over there?
Yes.
All right. That's a little strange.
Right? There's too many coincidences with this guy. So everything that they found online, that he's posted, his background of clearly pedophilia and assault on children, lined him up for these two girls. I mean, sounds terrible, but lined him up to be the suspect of these, of the murder of Libby and Abby.
Okay, so now what's going on with this guy? Is he incarcerated? Is he free?
He's not free. Right now he's sitting in a Carroll County jail awaiting trial.
So, okay. Now, I know there was
a lot of this can be circumstantial evidence. Now, it doesn't necessarily have to be forensic, which I don't know why you wouldn't have forensic evidence with all the shit that's happening nowadays with catching the fucking, the Golden State Killer and everybody else. But a lot of it is circumstantial. You know what I mean? There's too many, like I said, too many coincidences for him to not possibly be the killer.
Okay, so I'm going to go back a few moments with this story.
Go ahead.
So when she was taken, she was taking pictures and videos of her and her friend going on a hike and her friend on the bridge, and all of a sudden she comes across this guy. She takes a video or a picture, or she does her best to do that. So forensically or electronically, they couldn't get somebody to go through that phone and try to see anything else, or have they done that?
As far as I know, that's all that they've been able to give out, because much like what case was that?
Yeah, the iPhone case.
Not the iPhone case with Richard Ramirez when he came out to San Francisco. A lot of people didn't want to join together to try and find the Night Stalker because they didn't want to cross contaminate. So same thing with this. They don't want to release too much information just yet without, you know, having something sustainable.
So it's not even without a shadow of a doubt. There's no true proof that this guy did anything. He's just under suspicion.
Right. He is just he is the only suspect within this case.
Does he look like that sketch artist?
It definitely, yeah. I'll even pull it up. I'll do a side-by-side comparison. This is what they have. They speculate on this bottom one that this is what he originally looked like. But you could tell he's possibly wearing either has curly hair or a hat. I think he has on a hat.
It's the hat that's in the middle picture. It's one of those.
That fedora there.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you look,
it's not a fedora
or whatever that is. I'm not sure. The Newsies hat. I don't know. But I mean, it's eerily similar, right? The nose.
Ridge of his nose. Yeah.
The eyes. I mean, everything. The hair. I mean, even the hair. I mean, it looks a little long on the sides here.
Mm-hmm.
He may have gotten a haircut. Who knows? His face looks.
So this is the guy that's still incarcerated?
This is the one. Yeah, this is James Chadwell. He's the one who was taken in and being questioned, basically.
And that's the guy who beat up a 10-year-old.
He's the one who literally had a girl chained in his fucking basement, beat the shit out of her to do God knows what before the police found.
Jesus Christ. All right.
So that
sick is, world, dude.
It's a sick world. And that's the story of the Delphi murders so far.
I know. And that's just one of them that's going to unfortunately go on for. And I hope somebody learns something from here. They've got to do something with these things, with these phones. They cost too much money. They're too important to everybody for not to have certain things available for investigations for purposes like this.
I agree 100%. I don't understand how they can find the fucking Fauci emails about him talking about masks don't do anything, but you can't definitively solve a case of two dead girls in 4 years.
That's exactly my point, dude. Yeah, I mean, there's got to be dirt on this case somewhere. Somebody higher up is protecting this dude from something. Is it a dad? Is it a ring? Is it a pedophilia ring? Is it a, you know, some sort of a, you know, private circuit, you know, well, what do you call that? Human trafficking ring, or what do you call them when they?
Yeah, human trafficking.
Yeah, but there's another word for a
slave.
No, sex slave. Never mind. I just lost sex slave. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sex slave.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It don't make no damn sense. And you know what? Living in the backwoods like that, I wouldn't think of having to protect a family member. Yeah, I'd be overcautious for a teenage adult. Sure, going through puberty. Yeah, absolutely. I would do a lot more to try to make sure that they're locatable. But that's just me. I don't know. I'm panicked enough now.
me too. But yeah, that is the Delphi murders of Ibby.
Yeah, something's gotta come.
Libby and Abby, 13 and 14 years old. I don't know what's gonna come up. I really don't. And
I didn't know. See, that's just it. I didn't know that they were found. I thought they were missing still.
For a while they were. I think for about a solid 24, maybe a little less than 48 hours, and then they found them.
Now that were they badly
I can't
beat up? No, but there's they don't even release that yet.
Well, because they're literal minors. I the other cases that I've looked at with involving minors, they really don't give out details on the children often. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't, but I think it also depends on each department.
Dude, me and mom just watched the worst fucking child abuse story I've ever seen. And if you're going to watch this, don't let Alyssa watch it with you. It's the cases of Gabriel Fernandez.
Oh, yeah. She saw the headline on Facebook.
They show pictures of how badly he was beaten. Yeah. And the dude who did it was like 6'4", almost 300 pounds. And this little fucking guy was 8 years old, 50 pounds. And he was beating him like, I mean, it was the worst. I couldn't even continue. But I wanted to know what the fuck happened, because the mom was twisted. The mom is one sick bitch, and they're still alive. They're still in jail. Well, he's on death row, but yeah, that mom, she's still in fucking jail. I'm surprised nobody's taking her out. It's terrible, dude. I like watching documentaries, but when it comes to kids, man, I can't do it. I can't.
The only reason why I really wanted to do this one is because they gave out update. So I figured, why not? And it's not.
Well, I didn't even know that they had this guy in custody. I just thought the last I can say that I remember anything about it was that the fact that somebody they even had an interview. Somebody knows this person. I think it was the sheriff who said it. Somebody knows this person. He's got to come. You got to come forward. And that was probably about a year ago when I seen that. Yep. So yeah, if they caught him in 2020, yeah. So yeah.
2021,
that
April,
guy right there.
This was 2 months.
Oh, this
three,
year.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. See. Yeah, I have no clue. I've not followed it at all because of that.
Yeah. So
that's fucked up. Anyway.
Thank you everybody for listening. Sorry to put a downer on your mood this evening or morning. But I hope you all enjoyed this episode.
Yeah. It's terrible, but it is what it is. We choose to do this, right?
That's why I posted that meme of that guy and the girl. You probably don't know, but from Star Wars, and it says, "I love murder." And it says, "You mean like Forensic Files, right?" No. No, I go
twisted
deep shit. But thank you everyone for tuning in. Thank you everybody
for
watching. And I hope, like I said, I hope you enjoyed it. We've actually haven't recorded in a while, so
we haven't recorded together in over a month. And unfortunately, it's going to be going like that for a while.
Yeah.
But I kind of like doing the Chub Talks. I just got to learn how to edit it. I gotta learn how to edit. This shit's too confusing.
But like I said in the beginning of this episode, please go hit up all of our socials. His, mine, the flow page is on our main Instagram page. If you don't want to go to the main Instagram page, just go to flowpage.btwbj. That's all you gotta do. And we're right there.
We're there.
We're right there. Follow us. Give us a like on Instagram. Give us a subscribe on YouTube. Hit us up.
We're here for the talking. It's what we do. Yeah.
So thank you guys. Good night. Good morning. Good afternoon. Love y'all. Peace
out.